But anyway, this morning we're going to do a short little break from Matthew and to look into Proverbs a little bit in honor of Father's Day. And we bought a new mic, so hopefully for the Zoom attendees, hopefully this will be a little bit more consistent for them. So for those who are online, if you can maybe let us know how it turns out, that would be great. Stuff. But anyway, so Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7 is what we're going to look at this morning. And then we're going to jump over to Genesis 45 and go through the first 15 verses in Genesis 45. So right now we'll look at Proverbs 20, verse 7. And it says this: "The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." And so as we, you know, celebrate Father's Day and all of that, you know, it's, I think sometimes we live in a world that we don't always necessarily consider the next generation. You know, hopefully we all do here, you know, but I think it's a society sometimes, you know, that next generational view is really something that has eroded away. It's amazing to hear, you know, we had a landlord when he first moved here, and they migrated from Spain, I don't know when, in the 40s, you know, a long time ago. And it was really interesting to hear their whole view and thoughts about migrating to America and, you know, where they started and where they're able to end. And the more you hear about other migrants, you know, who start all over, they really sometimes, I think they have probably a better generational view than perhaps people who've been here for multiple generations. We live in a society where there is no more family trades, right? Typically, a family trade is a unique thing. Typically, you know, kids grow up and they leave and they go do their own thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But society, you know, in the past is really built upon, you know, that generational learning where the father would pass on the trade, not just, you know, important, you know, about God, about work ethics, but also a skill and in the family business. And so today, sometimes that view of generational, you know, setting things up for the next generation is not always first on people's priority list. When I came across this proverb, I just thought it was just so good. Because in Proverbs 20, verse 7, "The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." So you figure, as we look at this word just, what does the word just mean? Another great word is righteous, right? Someone who is righteous, someone who's living appropriately, you know, that's in alignment with what God would have them to do. And so the just man, one who is honoring God, what does it say? Walketh in his integrity. So those who are honoring the Lord, you know what's going to happen? Is there any perfect person in this world? No. The Bible says that we're all like sheep have gone astray, right? Where they're just kind of wandered away, right? That's how the Bible describes people. But for those who desire to follow the Lord, put him first, you know, look at his word and see what God expects, see what they're going to find. Are they going to fall short of that? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Now, is that a bad thing? It'd be better if it didn't happen, right? Well, it would be perfect, right? That it would be always, you know, 70 degrees. You know, that would be perfect. And so when you think about this idea of walking justly or being a just man, and this isn't necessarily something that's perfect without fault, there are going to be sin, right? And for the child of God that's wanting to honor the Lord, you know, isn't the Spirit going to convict them of what they should and shouldn't do? Like, yeah, you shouldn't have done that, Tim. Why'd you do that? Why'd you think that? And the Spirit of God is going to do that. And so a just man, you know what they're going to do? They're going to take that conviction, what the scripture says, and allow that to direct their path, right? So as we go astray, the word of God is going to say, ah, get back on track. And so for a just man, you know, that is what's important to them. And so they're going to continue to examine the scriptures and see, you know, how they should live and ask themselves, am I living that way? And in so doing, you know what happened? There's a really cool thing that happens. There's when I was in taking karate growing up, there's a thing over the mirrors that says, you need more. Anybody know what word follows? Practice. Why is that? What did they say about practice? Yes, practice makes perfect. And what that means is that the more you do something, guess what? The better you get at it, right? The more refined you become. And so this idea of being just, think that over the course of your life, you continue to work at this. Now, does that sound like fun? Who likes to be pointed out that they're wrong all the time? Oh, James does. Okay. You know, this nothing that we enjoy. There's something very special when God points something out in our life, right? Versus, Tim, that was wrong. Because what's the benefit? What's the byproduct of hearing the Lord, you know, confessing and making the change? What happens? The way is much better. Have you ever found yourself trying to do things your own way? Did it ever go out well? If you're trying to put together something you didn't design or build, and you try to do it, you know, without following the instructions, does it always end up well? No. Those who do it a lot, they have a better chance of ending well. This idea of over time, you know, it's a continual pursuit. And Solomon said, bless you. Solomon didn't say bless you. But he might have, I don't know. And so the just man walketh in his integrity. So think of this over time and a constant, you know, trying to live up to the standards of God. You know, one of the blessings that come by living that way, it's this latter half, right? His children are blessed after him. You know, one, if you take that a couple different ways, one could be as in once the man dies and is no longer on this earth, the lesson and the example that he's presented to the children, guess what? They continue to bless him. Have you ever met somebody like that? That's been part of your life and they're no longer with you, but just from your time with them and the example that they have been to you, they continue to be an encouragement to you today. That's powerful. Do they even know? I know there's a lot of thoughts about people, you know, looking down from heaven. But I think once we're done with this world, we're not going to be so concerned about this world. We're going to be more focused on the Lord. So I believe that, you know, once we leave this world, are we going to be worried about this life? I don't think so. Scripture doesn't really give us much indication on all that. But imagine the lives that people can touch. They have no clue. Doing hard work, is it fun? No. You know, the benefit of doing hard work is not the hard work itself, right? But what is produced afterwards. That's the good stuff, right? You work now. Then you play. We're likes to play now and then hurry it up quick, get the job done, we're running out of time. See, that's not necessarily how the scriptures lay things out for us. They teach us to, you know, work now, sacrifice now, because the future will be better. So for fathers, I thought this is an excellent verse to remember. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Sam.
Pastor, just one verse, Proverbs 10:9:8. He who walks with integrity walks
securely. That was Jack's favorite verse. And there is something about going through the work to walk in integrity and to live according to the word of God. There's value there that I think sometimes people don't see it. I just want to encourage you in your life. Don't forget that. And imagine the example that we can be for others. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll jump over to Genesis chapter 45. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time as we gather together, Lord. I just pray that you just give us a good morning. And I just ask that as we spend time in your word, that you'd help us, Lord, to focus in on your word and to allow you to minister to our hearts and to our minds, and that we would humble ourselves before you. You are King, Father. And I pray, Lord, that we would honor you as such and that we would do your will. We just thank you, Father, for your example and for the example of other men that you brought into our lives, Father, that demonstrated what a godly father looks like. I just ask, Lord, that you would continue to encourage and inspire all of us to live a life that's a blessing to others. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I was thinking about this idea of walking in integrity and the next generation and stuff like that, you know, the thought of Joseph, I thought, fits the bill very well. And in Genesis chapter 45, we're going to skip over like all of Joseph's like youth and all of his ups and downs. And we're going to focus on, I'm going to say, like the climax of the story of Joseph as recorded in Genesis. And this climax, right, is it all came about because there's a great famine, right? There's so much of a famine that, you know, not just people in Egypt, but the scripture, the world came to Egypt for food. Because the Pharaoh had this crazy dream, right? Some fat cows and some skinny cows. And then he had no idea what it meant, but guess what? Joseph knew exactly what it meant, you know, because of the Lord's blessings, and he explained it to him. And because of that, the Pharaoh made Joseph right below him in all of Egypt. Man, what an honor, right? Talking about a rags to riches type of story, you know? And so he's running things there in Egypt. The world is coming to him. He's about 2 years into the famine. And yet there's still 5 more years to go. And here Joseph is doing his duties, you know, divvying out in rations to Egypt and selling rations to other people. And then, lo and behold, what happens? Yeah, he began to recognize some people as his family. Now, what makes the story of Joseph pretty amazing is that at home, Joseph had like the nice thread, right? The coat of many colors, right? That was a special, and it was very evident that Jacob kind of favored Joseph a little bit, right? Just a little. The fact that where all his brothers were out feeding the sheep, where was Joseph? He was at home. And Jacob says, hey, Joseph. Hey, Joe. I don't know what he called him. Maybe called him Joey Joe. Who knows? He says, hey, go to your brothers and see what's going on. So he goes and checks them out. What do his brothers do? Throw him in a hole. Sell him in human trafficking. Yeah. Cover. They found an animal, killed it, and put all over his jacket. Say, Dad, we don't know what happened, but we did find this. Would you say those people are people of integrity? Would you say they're just people trying to live righteously up to the standards of their God? No. Do you think they're looking into the next generation? No. They're looking at their own generation, right? They're looking at themselves. It's all about me, right? And I. That's what they're focused on. And so Joseph gets sold into slavery. Then he ends up finding out he finds a place to land, and he gets promoted. And then guess what? More deceit, right? His boss's wife got mad because she didn't have her way with him. So what does she do? She lies, right? Do you think she was worried about the next generation? No. Probably some shame in her mind, what was motivating her. You know, it's a little anger, and like, who do you think you are telling me no? Well, what happens to Joseph? Thrown in jail again. But what happens? In prison, he gets promoted. There's like this peaceful area, and that's where Joseph's at. And then, long story short, he comes before Pharaoh and interprets the dream. Joseph lived a hard life. That'd be like starting over. How many times? How many times have you had to start over? Was it easy? Was it enjoyable? Was it like, yes, let's do it again. Come on. You know, it's not like Disneyland going on a ride, or we're going on a great hunt or a good fishing trip or going to a great beach. You know, it's just those things you want to do again. But the stuff that Joseph went through, he didn't want to do that stuff again. But we see the integrity that he had, growth that he had. Then we get to chapter 45, where the ones that betrayed him and that led him down a path of constant problems, and then finally getting glory is at. How would you feel? Your own family betraying you. In fact, if you read earlier, before chapter 45, gives more insight of how Joseph reacted. When he first saw them, he was like, he wasn't saying, oh, brothers, it's me. Come, give me a hug. It wasn't like that. He had some strong emotions he had to process and to work through. And as he did that, we come to verse 45, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. So he cleared out the house, because he was like being pretty kind of stern with them, wasn't he? He's being real stern with his brothers to the point where he couldn't hide it anymore. His brothers had no idea who this guy was. So Joseph clears out all the Egyptians. It's just him and his brothers. He's breaking down. Is it a good thing to break down? I think so. There's a time to get up and go and get it done. There's other times where I think getting a good breakdown is good. And verse 2 says, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Even though he kicked everybody out of the room, guess what? There's a lot going on. Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? Interesting, right? The question that he's concerned about is his dad. And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And he said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. They're taken back here. There's a show that my mom got me on. It's called Undercover Billionaire. And they go to a place they've never been before. They start with $100, a phone, and a beater. And they have to, in 90 days, build a business that appraises for over $1 million. And so it's pretty interesting. But nobody knows what's going on. So at the very end, they reveal who they are to all the people that have helped them with their business. And it's amazing to watch people's reactions. See? And the crazy thing is that they've been around this person for like 90 days. Joseph's brothers haven't been around him working in that fashion for 90 days. No, he was the authority. They were at his mercy. So to hear that all of a sudden this is their brother talking about a major 1A, like, what? Like, we figured you'd be dead. You know, who knows all the thoughts that would have been running through their heads. And Joseph had to encourage them and coax them to come closer. He says, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Do you think he said that with bitterness? Or is there some compassion in that phrase? As we get later on, I think we'll see there is some compassion there, not resentment, not, you know, condemnation, doom on you. There's compassion here. And we'll see that. For sure. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. Here this guy was sold out by his brothers, and he's telling them, hey, don't worry about it. Man, how could he justify all this stuff? Well, look what he says. For God did send me before you to preserve life. See, Joseph really had to come to terms with a lot of stuff. And one of the things he had to come to terms with, why do bad things happen to good people, right? That is something he wrestled with. And he's came to this conclusion. For Joseph, it was to preserve your life. See, Joseph wasn't all about him. And you figure a guy at his level in Egypt, this would be like maybe the VP of the United States. And yet Joseph wasn't walking around with a chip on his shoulder. He wasn't acting that way. He could have, right? When you're at that level, do you have any say so? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you got some authority. Okay, here Joseph. We don't see him responding that way. There's a sense of humility that Joseph is exhibiting here. A sense of peace, knowing that God has been working through all of this. Do you think he saw that right when he was sold into slavery? No. So when calamity comes into your life, do you always have perspective? No. So it's a good thing, right? To hold off any big decisions, right, in the middle of a storm, because perspective is somewhat lacking. So hang tight, right? The best time to get off a roller coaster is not in the middle of the roller coaster, right? It's when the roller coaster comes to a complete stop, right? The little bars pop up. That's a great time to get off. If you get off any earlier, it's bad things can happen. Joseph learned this over time. And the fact that he's bringing God into this to preserve life. Verse 6, for these 2 years hath a famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Joseph's realizing he was just a little pawn in the big scheme of God's plans. Isn't that cool? Isn't it cool that he was able to get that kind of perspective? Wouldn't it be cool for us to be able to have some perspective on how God uses us? It'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Yeah. Verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but who? But God. He started by, yeah, I'm your brother, you know, the one that you sold into Egypt. Yeah, I'm that brother. Now he's saying, but don't worry. This was part of God's plan. God wanted me to be over here. So God sent me here. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go unto my father and say unto him, thus saith my son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. Do you think Joseph could have prospered from this encounter? You guys know what inflation is? Do you think he could have automatically increased the rates for them? A little brother tax. You know, he could have done that, but did he? No. He was able to look past himself. He was able to look at God and see what God is doing. And he says, hey, all of us, all of you guys, everything you have, you need to get down here so that your children, so our children and their children can prosper. Did Joseph experience hardships? Yes, he did. He acknowledged those as God's will to help him to get where he needed to be so that he can then be a blessing to other generations. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, there shall be near unto me thou my children, and the children shall and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, and yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou in thy household and all thy that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and all that ye have seen, and all that ye shall, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. What a moving time here. When there could have been such a toxic, destructive meeting here. What do we see? We see reconciliation. What could have divided is now actually causing them to come together. Why? A lot of it because of Joseph, right? It's because how Joseph handled this situation. It's amazing if you read before chapter 45, when he comes to realize that these are his brothers, he goes in secret to process stuff. Right, then he comes out and makes decisions. He was slow to make a decision, you know. And we come now and see how he's reacting. Do you think Proverbs 20, verse 7 and Joseph line up pretty well? Yeah. If Joseph used this time to retaliate against his brothers, do you think the family would all move down to Egypt? Do you think Joseph would have made room in a fertile land for all their herds to make it? No. You know what that would have meant? The death of his family. He would still be alive, but his family probably would have not have survived. So Joseph looked past all the hardships, all the wrongs, and God helped him to see things clearly. And because of that, he was able to see that, you know what? This life is about more than just me. It's about others. Think about, you know, what does it mean to be a good dad, a good father? I already know I've done things to my boys that have hurt them. I just hope that as they get older, that God's grace, right, would cover my shortcomings It's amazing. As you get older, did you notice any new shortcomings of your parents? It's amazing. As you get a little bit older, it's like, it's amazing, right? And how important it is to have the Lord in our life, right? He's that great gap filler, right? When we can't take the ball across the line, God can send help to help us to make it. Isn't that wonderful? So the encouragement is, I think, is Proverbs 20, verse 7. And Joseph is we can see that as an example of the principle of Proverbs 20, verse 7. And we'll read it again. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Did Jacob's family make it through this famine? Oh, yeah. They're in a bad spot. Where they were located over in Israel, there wasn't a nice, huge river that brought constant water supply to Israel. That was not Israel. Israel's like California, right? Without rain, is California in trouble? Oh, yes. With rain, is California very productive? Oh, yes. That was Israel. So if they would have stayed in Israel, everything would have dried up. It would have devastated the family. Because Joseph walked in his integrity, understood the standard of God, right? And what God would want him to do, he treated his brothers differently. He opened the door for their survival. Aren't you thankful that God has thought ahead to make sure that we can get what we need? He's a good father. But do you think it's easy for God to do all that? Imagine the work it would take for us to do all that God does. You think you'd be overwhelmed? Think you'd be a little overworked? A little defeated? Yes. Thank God we're not in his shoes, right? Look at all he's done for us. And he laid his life down so that others could live. You know, in school, a talk about, you know, the resurrection. Without the Bible, can the world understand the resurrection outside of the Bible? And I believe yes. Jesus gives a parable, right? Unless the grain dies, it can't give more life, right? So we see the cycle of these plants. When are the seeds ready to germinate, to be sown? Because after it's gone through its flowering cycle. And then from there, then you can take what is produced when the flower dies and take the seeds and you can plant it. And guess what's going to happen? It'll grow again. So God has created this whole process of setting aside for the next generation, thinking ahead over and over again. Neither that is good. So for us, let's not forget that while, yeah, we do have needs and stuff like that, let's never forget about the next generation. Because that's, after all, that's how the Lord thinks. And how can we ensure the next generation is going to be blessed? It requires us to do the work of knowing what the Lord wants, looking at what we're doing, and making them come in alignment. That is Proverbs 20. The just man walketh in his integrity. And guess what? His children, they're blessed after him. You want to leave a blessing? Do you want to be remembered after your passing? Guess what we should do? Do whatever the Lord calls us to do, because guess what? That is for sure guaranteed. It's going to work out great. So with Father's Day, and we're actually going to be done a little bit early this morning, but in honor of Father's Day, let's remember that, you know, the good dads, sometimes they don't get them, right? I saw a shirt that said this, you know, a strange dad builds character. For me, it was a weird dad builds character. I can't remember what it too. That was a good shirt. Let's remember all of those people, what they've done for us. So let's pass it on. When the Lord blesses you and enables you, you know what he wants you to do? Pass it on. Live your life, not just for you, but think about others. And understand that your character, your integrity, is far more impactful than anything else. Now, let's not confuse what integrity is, right? Integrity isn't just saying doing yes or doing what you say you do. When you apply God to the picture, this is not living up to your own standard that you set. This is not you saying this is important, that's not important, so this is what we're going to do. No, no, no. That's not the idea of biblical integrity. Biblical integrity takes in consideration what God considers important. What God says, this is how you should live. And guess what? We live to that standard. And it's Matthew 6:33, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Live up to God's standards, not your own, not my own. Let's live up to God's standards. And when we do that and we walk in alignment with his standards, that's integrity. It's not just doing what you say. It's just a sliver of it. But when we begin to orchestrate our life to live the way that God says, guess what? That second half of verse 7, you can claim that. When you honor the Lord. So, honor him, right? We should honor him. Isn't God good? Yes, he is. Even when we can't see it. I hope that whatever you have gone through in your life, I hope and pray that you come to that aha moment, just like Joseph, when God gives you a glimpse of why God allowed all the stuff to go on, and you can look back and see, wow, God, you would have never put that together. I hope you do, because then we just get a bigger picture of who God is. In life, there's a lot of turns and twists. God's got a plan. And as we're going through the turns and twists, let's not derail from the program of following the Lord. That's the time we need to hold on even more. Because he's taking us to a good place. That's about it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning and this time. We thank you, Father, just for the men that you've brought into our lives, Father, that have exhibited, you know, godly characteristics, that have demonstrated what your word teaches, Father. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord. Help us to see. Open our eyes, Lord, that we would be able to see how important it is to study your word, to understand what you want, and how important it is, Father, for us to live up to that standard, knowing full well that we're going to fail, but that's why you've granted the option of forgiveness and that you promised you'd never leave us. So, Father, let's not quit. Help us, Father, to continue to live and to serve you, knowing full well that the reward is amazing. Help us to see beyond ourselves. Help us to see you, and help us to see the people around us so that we would live to serve you. We thank you, and I ask, Lord, that you'd bless our Sunday school, Lord, as we prepare to break up and go in there and just be with the teachers and all those who are coming. I just pray, Father, that will be a time that we can engage a little bit more in your word and to ask questions and to explore answers. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.